Dave Navarro, Gene Simmons.
And Gene Simmons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just imagine what those tongues have seen. All right. Yeah, I know. Coming up on TMS, Strange Sounds in the Night.
Library steak sauce is the best.
A robot flipped my burger.
That cop was a real pig.
Free porn removal.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now, being the quality person that I happen to be, I always want to get the best quality out of the products that I buy.
We're going to swim in money.
The Morning Stream. Better than a pound of jam in your pants.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's me, Scott Johnson, with him, Brian Nibbett. Hello, Brian Nibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
How are you on this Wednesday,
I'm
the 15th?
Good, but let's talk about how you are. What's your percentage?
All right. So Brian likes to go by percentage when he's ill. So today should be no different. I should tell you my percentage. If I'm going to guess percentage, I'm going to say 61%.
Ooh.
Now, that's right. Not great, but that's above half.
You probably were like at 8 on Monday.
Yeah, I was probably 8 or lower on Monday. Jeez. And then Tuesday a little better, and today, you know, I don't know. It comes and it goes. Like, I had a pretty good day yesterday, coughed a lot, but slept like garbage and had a horrible sore throat all night. And anyway, it's whatever it is. It's just this thing. And I was talking to Dan, the tabletop man. You know his day job. He's a
pharmaceutical
technician, right. Man. And I said to him, I said, "What's going on?" He said, I said, "What's the deal? What's the deal?
What's the dealio?"
And he says, "It's because late in March, sometimes, not every year, but some years, late March is when the most resistant of viruses and bacterial infections still are hanging about trying to get their prey."
Oh, yes.
And
It's last call. The bouncers, you know, everybody. It's
closing time, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you've still got a few real belligerent drunks in the bar that are sticking around that the bouncer then has to forcibly remove.
Exactly. It's cheers is cheers is a lie. It's not where everybody knows your name and we all need each other or whatever. It doesn't work that way. The last guy isn't a jokey fat Norm. The last guy is a horrible virus that wants to kill you.
It's a security guard who's poking at your virus saying, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't sleep here."
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, "You know, these are the kinds that kill people." He goes, "Oh, yeah." He says, "These are the ones that old people die from." He says, "That's because they, you know, their immune systems are compromised in some way. They're older or they have some other issue. And so they end up just croaking from this." So he says, "The best thing you can do is get tons of rest and don't push it." And I said, "Push it." He says, "Push it real good." Yeah. So anyway, it's fine. It's good to have. It's actually really nice to have a dude on my phone that I can just text anytime and say, "Hey, what's sicker-facimiacin?" And he'll go, "Oh, that's what people use to get rid of warts in their bum or whatever." And you can just always find out. Like, "Oh, hey, somebody says this supplement's good. Is that true?" "No, it's total hokum. Don't take it. Instead, go get a prescription for whatever." Like, he just knows all that stuff.
Nice.
It's very helpful. And he can tell you, you know, when the next Magic the Gathering expansion is coming out. So he's got everything you need, Brian.
He's got feelers in every, and of course, hockey he can tell you about.
Yeah, he loves the hockey. He's a big fan of the hockey.
Explain icing.
Yeah, what's icing? Tell me about your, what's a hat trick? And why does the Zamboni move so slow? Those are all questions I have. Hey, I got an update. People love the electric car guy neighbor stories. Sure. This is a real head scratcher. I mean, up till nine, let's look at the mysteries thus far. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Up till now, not up till nine.
We have dog that isn't your dog.
All right. We have fake dog who he claims isn't his dog, but is his dog.
Right. Manages to leave real poop on the lawn, but
yeah, exactly. And we've seen him, like literally seen him do it and then have him deny it. Like have him stand there while we pull up in the car, his dog taking a big dump, and then him rushing to get the dog back and then saying later that that's not his dog. So that all happened, right? But we moved past that. Mm-hmm. And then we moved on to, you know, him doing it even after the poop hit the fan, so to speak, and then the cops and all that, right? So we've had some weird experiences with him. And then outside of that, it's just like, oh, well, oh, by the way, that dog is gone. Nowhere to be seen. We have not seen that dog. So, well, I hope it's good.
Maybe it wasn't
good.
His dog. Maybe he was...
I'm afraid he killed it or something. Like, this, who knows? I mean, I don't know.
We now know what his vehicles are powered by.
No kidding. That's the other thing. There's always a new Tesla in the driveway. Mm-hmm. You know, the rarest of automobiles. They're picking up in popularity, but they have not dropped in price, and they tend to be everywhere. And so I don't know why he's got so many of them, but he's had, by our count, 5 different Teslas now, plus a truck and an SUV and some other stuff. So anyway, there's a weird car thing going on. Now, we have a middle-of-the-night thing going on. Last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear this sound. Let's see, I need to make it sound that sounds like it. Okay. Here. I hear this outside somewhere. I can't even do it justice. I need like a big sledgehammer. Like a sledgehammer hitting a drum. You know that sound of just like a big, deep echoing?
Yeah, yeah.
It was loud enough to make my house vibrate. That's how loud it was. So it sounded almost like construction level something. And it woke Kim and I up. We're like, whoa.
What time was this?
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
3 a.m. when I hear this sound. And it's absolutely coming from their direction. There's no question in my mind. And
Was it repetitive? Like you heard it more than once? Or was it
Twice, two times. And not rapid succession. It was like, bong. And then we woke up and we're like, what the hell was that? And then a little bit, I don't know, 5 seconds later, another bong sound.
He's got somebody chained to a pipe in the garage, and they're waiting for lightning to strike to hit it with a rock.
Yeah, and they're putting lotion on the skin over there. So that happens, and I'm like perched up looking out windows trying to see what's going on. I can't see anything, and then I hear their garage door open. Again, it's this neighbor. Their garage opens. Car door, whatever the car is, slams shut really hard. Like super hard shutting door. No voices, okay? I'm not hearing anybody yell or any kind of talking. And then the car pulls out and drives away at 3 o'clock in the freaking morning. Now, I don't know what any of that was. I mean, I assume at this point there's no foul play over there because we'd have heard something by now.
Sure.
But it's always a mystery. Always, always a mystery.
I wonder if one of them just works really weird hours in there. You know, they run out of the garage, they throw something away in the trash can or something and drop the lid that doesn't even sound like it would make that kind of noise.
Yeah, but I don't want to be too conspiratorial based on limited information, but I can tell you this. I can see many of their windows from where I am in my yard and stuff. Uh-huh. There's nothing in there. Like there are days where it's 4 or 5 days straight with no lights on at all. And we think, oh, they're gone. But then a car will pull out. Like, we're they were there. Okay, well, where the hell are they? Because none of their lights are on. And then when the lights are on, I can see that the walls are bare.
Oh, my God. I'm expecting for you to, like, see, you know, Raymond Burr smoking a cigarette in the dark while you send your wife over to tiptoe over there and find out if his wife's cut up into a suitcase or something.
This is my thinking. Like that, and then that's the other thing.
Get out of there, Mary. Get out of there.
Get out of there. Whatever you do. Don't start. Hey, actually, his voice sounds better with my crappy cold. Yeah, it does. But anyway, it's just freaking me out, and I don't know what to make of it. And we have this other neighbor who's a listener of the show down the street, who's awesome, by the way. And we're supposed to go to lunch, and I keep getting this stupid sickness is my current reason I'm blaming it on him or on me. But anyway, he no longer knows the guy that used to work with this dude no longer works with him. So he no longer has this little spy connection. So I can't.
Oh, right.
I can't tell. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. And maybe. And listen, it's none of my business. I'm not trying to poke around. But when at 3 o'clock in the morning you make a sound loud enough to be a wrecking ball landing on trash, I'm awake. I know what's going on. And his neighbors who are right next to him, they must hear this. They must have questions. I'm afraid to ask them. I'm afraid to go, hey, what's up with your neighbor? And they'll go, no one discusses the neighbor.
Right. He's already gotten to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever do you mean, he would say. So,
Mrs. Lonely Hearts, do you know what's going on with your neighbor?
Lonely Hearts. I like that.
Have you not seen Rear Window in a long time?
No, it's been a very long time.
That's I'm borrowing all these things from Rear Window.
Is Lonely Hearts Club Band from that?
No,
it's not.
No,
all right.
It didn't come from that. But all right.
That'd be cool.
Miss Lonely Hearts was in another apartment that he was watching, and
it's not a real name at all, is it? Lonely Hearts. That's not a name.
No, no, no. It's not a name. But he's sitting in his. He doesn't know. He's in his apartment looking at all these different people. He's making up backstories and names for them. And,
oh, I don't remember any of that movie.
Oh, good Lord! If that is streaming anywhere, that should be the next thing that you and Nick and Carter watch, because
Rear Window, eh?
Rear Window. It is
been ages. Ages and ages since this.
Psycho's good, but I think Rear Window is my favorite Hitchcock film.
Mm. I like Birds. I think Birds is cool.
Yeah, Birds is cool.
Just because there's,
you know, it's
evil
birds
in it. There's a bunch of birds. Yeah, they're all pissed. They want to peck your eyes out, those birds.
Right. But Rear Window has some real. And don't see the new one with.
Well, there's a new one.
Christopher Reeve.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's not Night Trap, is it? That's something else.
No, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, Night Trap is where Superman and
Alfred
make out. Yeah, they totally make out.
his mouth tasted like. No, anyway, Rear Window. No, in 1998, they did a remake of Rear Window with Christopher Reeve as the Jimmy Stewart character, laid up in his wheelchair watching his neighbors.
This is after his accident.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. The only thing I ever saw him in after his accident was that time he guested on Smallville. And that was it. Mm-hmm. So I know he did some other stuff, but I never saw any of that.
Yeah, they're pulling in every single actor who's related to Superman and still living, by the way, into Supergirl. Oh. So you get your Helen Slater.
Yeah.
And Dean Cain.
Oh, good.
Are her parents.
Yeah, great.
And now you got Terry Hatcher as someone bad coming in. Uh-huh. And it's any moment we're gonna see
does Supergirl trip and fall into her breasts and then talk about how they're real and they're spectacular? No,
that would be great. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Right. Let's see. Be a nice reference to Seinfeld.
If not, then I think we've got a plot for the season finale.
Okay, good. good. It'll be a nice throwback for Seinfeld fans. So all right, let me ask you another question about that show, because I haven't seen Supergirl not even once yet.
Sure.
And you're into it, right? You like that stuff.
I like it. It's okay. There's a filter that you have to put all of the CW DC superhero TV shows into, that just you don't go in with like big expectations of the science is all going to work and the plots are all going to make sense and the solutions they come up with are going to be the solutions that would, you know, be the right thing. It's just the solutions that work to get the hero in tights and saving the day.
Yeah, and there are no unattractive people.
And there are no unattractive people, and everybody's dating.
Yeah.
And a good third of the episode is related to people dating.
Yeah, that's pretty much the that's
anyway,
the
please ask your question.
My question is,
Supergirl, unless I've already answered.
No. Is Calista Flockhart still all up in that, or is she out?
No, she's out. She.
What happened to that deal?
She got out. God, was it? It must have been the end of season one when they moved from CBS to CW. Mm. They still work for her company, Catco, which is Calista's.
Oh, that's her production company.
Character's company.
Oh! In the show.
I'm sorry, on the show, she's like a media magnet with like
Devil's Wear Prada,
TV and newspaper and all that stuff. Sure. Exactly.
She was a little over the top, is what I heard.
She was very over the top. Made season one a little difficult to watch, but they've. Season two has gotten better. It's the whole CW thing of comic book characters in comics. If they ever let anybody know about their secret identity, it's like a last ditch effort, emergency thing. Like, oh my God, this person's either going to die or I have to reveal my secret identity. And it's an issue 312. The secret is out. Mm. With CW TV shows, a gentle breeze walks by and Flash says, "Hey, did you know I'm Barry Allen?"
Oh, jeez. Wow.
By the way, everybody, I'm Barry Allen.
They get you right in there. And they're going to do, I heard there's some big, huge, crazy crossover this year with even more weird crossover
stuff.
They
had the crossover with Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow earlier this year, or the end of last year, which was like a big alien crossover. And you got all the characters from all the shows.
Yeah,
guest appearing in everybody else's shows.
I heard there was some that was really good. Greater crossover, but I don't know what that means. There aren't any other shows to crossover yet, I don't think. What other shows would there
be? Those four.
Yeah, unless they're going to do some movie crossover or something. You're going to have Jason Momoa show up and go, I talk to fish. And then you're done.
That's right. And, hey, you're not the Flash. Hey, you're not the Flash.
Yeah. Who's the Flash? I don't know. Barry Allen's the Flash. Great. Right. All right. I learned something. Speaking of, you mentioned Christopher Reeves. It's funny you mentioned it because it's a perfect transition. He's one of the call-ins for Frasier's, his show call-in where I'm
the
listening.
Celebrity, yeah. Right. The celebrity voices that they never... Do they say at the end of the show who the celebrity voices are?
They,
I guess they do.
They do a little thanks at the end. And that's how we figured this one out because it sounded so familiar in the credits. It was like, oh, that's freaking Christopher Reeve. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, Gary Sinise and Ron Howard, they had everybody call that thing. It was so weird that Frasier had that kind of pull. But anyway, here's what I was going to say. Something I'm learning about Frasier. You know how I learned a lot about Cheers because I watched it over and over, right? Because we binged it. We're now binging Frasier, and I have learned the core of Frasier, and it was never apparent to me before, but now it's obvious, and I'm kind of annoyed. But this is what Frasier is every episode. The plot revolves around Frasier trying to come to grips with something, sometimes in ridiculous ways, but ultimately his guilt takes over and he has to do the right thing. It's always him admitting something at the end.
The formula is that repetitive.
It's always him at the end going, oh, Niles, I shouldn't have done this. Dad, I shouldn't have done this. Oh, Daphne, I shouldn't have done. It's always that.
Really?
At the end of every episode, it's him coming clean about something that he's just overridden with guilt and he can't deal with it anymore. Every freaking time. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It actually works for the show, but when you don't see it but week to week like it used to be, you didn't ever notice it. But now it is it has to be. Like, there had to be meetings where they're like, all right, you guys, we have this core central idea and everything revolves around it. Like, constantly Frasier admitting he's wrong. Like, that's our core. Okay, cool. Build stories around that. All right, see everybody tomorrow. That's how it must have worked.
Right.
Because that show is that every freaking episode. So we have a thing now when my kids and I are watching it. When that happens, we're supposed to go ding, 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 ding.
there's the guilt, like the start of the guilty. It's like watching Three's Company, waiting for the misunderstanding.
There it is. You've just nailed it. There's other shows I'm sure you could do this with. You could say, like Law and Order. Oh, I wonder if two people will be at the start of this episode just casually going, hey, you want to go to the game later? Yeah, that sounds good. What's that hand sticking out of that dumpster? Then that's how they all start.
Right.
It's like, it's exactly it. Boom, boom. So, point is, I've now learned that everything has a secret little thing, and we're not meant to notice it. But now, with a world of binging, we notice it. We know what's going on.
Totally. Yeah, that's actually a thing that they probably never really considered when they started writing, when they started doing TV shows.
Yeah.
Or even in the 70s and 80s, you know, when you started getting these series that would kind of get into these ruts and into these formulas. They probably said, people are watching a bunch of stuff over the week. They're not going to remember that we kind of use the same formula over and over again.
Yeah, we're off the air all summer. Like, it was such a different time. People had to be there right then to see it happen. There was no DVR. There was none of
Bob,
that.
It's not like people are going to be watching these shows back to back. We could totally do this.
Yeah, and now that we have this, you can sit and watch Different Strokes over and over and over, you realize, holy shit, this entire show was about him saying, what you talking about, Willis? Like, every 5 minutes, every chance they got to say it. But when it was all spread out, nobody noticed.
I'll bet. Yeah, you know what? I bet it would be kind of fun to analyze popular TV shows and figure out what the formula was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if Frasier does something, feels guilty about it in the second act, and then comes clean in the third act.
Yeah.
Is MASH, one of the doctors witnesses something, they keep it to themselves, and at the end they say, no, we've got to do something about this. This is the right thing to do. Da, da, da.
Yeah, I think you could. Everything's got its pattern. I bet you could.
Yeah.
And some of them are easier than others, like A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's paint by the numbers. There's nothing serious going on. But I think maybe it might be what separates old TV from what we have now, which is these incredibly well-curated story arcs over 10 episode seasons. It's different now. It's almost like we're just given a movie in 10 acts now.
Yeah, right.
And you don't look at it and go, no, I mean, oh, like every
episode. And
right. And you Game can't say Thrones. every episode of Game of Thrones. There's no, you can't. Like, you can't do it. It's different than that.
I, Breaking Bad, you know, all these things. The stuff bled into the previous episode from the into the new episode.
Mm-hmm. I don't know when it switched. It may have been Lost or something, but so at some point this made a switch, and no longer do we do that. And it's just a weird break, and I'm fascinated by it.
I'll bet Modern Family still follows the formula rule, because it is kind of like a, you know, there's a formula to the. Oh, family life is weird. Oh, we got some mayhem and we got to figure it all out. And at the end, it's like, wow, we've all kind of learned something about each other.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh.
After all these years of being family.
Phil Dunphy's still stupid. And guess what? Jay's still not totally comfortable with his son being gay. And yeah.
Right, exactly.
All that kind of stuff. Also, that's funny you should say that, because there's a producer lineage from Frasier to Modern Family.
Oh, really? Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, the showrunner for both is the same guy.
Not the Christopher Lloyd, not Doc Brown Christopher Lloyd. That always confused me. I always thought it was the same Christopher Lloyd.
I did too. So when Christopher Lloyd was actually on Cheers, and at the time Christopher Lloyd was helping produce Cheers episodes, I thought that meant that this Christopher Lloyd was doing both things, and nope, different guy.
Nope.
Chris Lloyd, we'll call him. Yeah. He should change his name. It's dumb to have that name. Because
exactly.
This just seems bad for your career to be called Christopher Lloyd. Anyway, hey, let's keep moving. Oh, you know what? We've got a full show today. We have recommendals. Yeah. We have Tom's text time.
He's going to text us.
Yeah.
He's going to use emojis.
Yeah.
And he's going to describe how to make eggplant parmesan without being sexual.
Yeah, well done. You've just spoiled the entire day just by telling everybody that.
Darn it, spoilers.
But no, we're going to do it all. We're going to have Daryl here in a second. We're going to have you guys out there a chance to win some stuff. Oh, we didn't talk about winning things. What things?
Oh, yeah, I get prizes.
Okay. We also have some...
While you're chatting with Daryl at the beginning, I'll grab stuff for prizes.
We also have these pink...
Yes.
Peeps flavored Oreos to eat.
Ooh, why is your bag already open?
Okay, so that's a story I'll tell you, because it's not me. I didn't eat them. It wasn't me. But
you got to keep your kids away from TMS food.
Oh, it's even better than that. Oh. You'll enjoy this story.
You got to keep Rainer away from TMS food.
Yeah, all these things are true. Everything you've said is true, actually. All right, well, let's dive right in. Here we go. Hey, everybody, it's Stump Daryl Day, and it's time to talk to Daryl Skeels. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, I might be.
Oh, wonderful. And it's brought to you by something. Brian, what's it brought to you by?
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we celebrate the 50th birthdays of Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins, or The Smashing Pumpkins, depending on if you, you know, which way you roll. And Keith Palmer, he is the not-punk-looking guy. He's the dreadlocks guy from The Prodigy. Both of those guys born in 1967, both of them turning 50 this month.
Oh my gosh, that's it's a ripe old age.
How does Billy Corgan turn 50 and still sound like he's 14?
I don't know. Does it also mean the kid who played the boy on Small Wonder turned 50?
The life cereal kid?
Yeah. Is he also now 50? Is that the deal?
Right, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Since everybody thought that was Billy Corgan.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it anyway. So that's how it works. Okay, well, great.
That's today, Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time on at coverville.com/live.
Do you have a favorite Smashing Pumpkins album or song?
Kind of. I really, really like Drown from the singles soundtrack.
Yeah, that was good.
But I only like the first 3 minutes of it.
Oh, weird.
Once it goes into just guitar feedback for like the last 2 minutes, mm-hmm. I switch it off.
Yeah, same weird choice. That, I agree. I like Gish. Their first album's really good.
Yeah.
I think that whole album is great.
Siamese Dream.
Siamese Dream is also good.
Melancholy and Infinite Sadness is a great album. Yeah, it's a really good...
When they started looking like bald assassins from Dark City, that's when
they kind of did.
I wasn't as into it then.
Yeah.
Kind of lost me a bit.
So not a fan of Zwan? Are you not a fan of Zwan?
Not really. But okay. But before that, it was fine. But I don't know what they were doing then. That was just an odd choice. Hey, Daryl Skeels, what's going on? How are you? What's your life like? Good? Doing good?
Oh, yeah.
All right, great. Star Trek, we got a captain. You heard about the captain? It's going to be Lucius Malfoy there. I can't think of his name. Jason Isaacs? Yeah. Is that it? Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs.
Boy, I'll tell you, NyQuil sometimes helps you with your memory. I'm remembering everything.
Maybe I should be using that before GeekBowl.
Everything I've had to think of today, I've totally remembered it. So I don't know what's going on. It's very odd. Wow. Having a very lucid morning despite my illness. That's exciting though, because he's cool and interesting and kind of intense. But also, I'm curious about how he is. Since he's not the focus, we keep hearing about how the captain is not the focus of this one. This is all about a crew member, and the captain's more of a side, you know, character. A very odd thing for a Star Trek to do. It's always focused on the captain. So how they do that, and do that with a very screen-heavy, chew-up-the-scenery kind of guy like Jason Isaacs, I don't know how they do that.
I wonder if that might have changed now since the producer guy left.
Oh, right. That may have been... Yeah, they may have tossed that idea. I hadn't considered that. I kind of hope they... Well, whatever. I like experimentation, but also like Star Trek with captains in it. So I feel like I'm a little bit torn on this one. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take your call. You're going to win some prizes.
Just locked up.
Oh, there we go.
Mirror, you're still here, Daryl. Are you here?
Oh, okay. Here?
Oh. Brian, did I lose you too?
Yeah, temporary lockage for a second there, yeah.
That's weird. Why'd that happen?
I don't know. But Daryl and I could still hear each other just fine.
That's jacked up. So you guys were talking to each other and you couldn't hear me?
Yeah.
It says I didn't have any change in my speed.
For about 2 seconds.
Exactly, yeah.
That's really funky. Anyway, call this number. Where the hell was it? Oh, here we have a caller. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kate.
Oh, hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh my gosh, you're so chipper and happy this morning. I feel like if I hang out with you more, I'd be in a great mood.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Kate, where are
Kate's
you calling?
At level 8.
Yeah, well, Kate, it is a level 8. Kate, where are you calling from?
Beautiful Rochester, New York.
Oh man, it's snow. Is the snow gone yet, or how's that going?
It's still coming. It's fine.
Okay. You guys aren't, I mean, it's not like you're strangers to a good snowstorm. You guys know what's up with that stuff. Right?
Oh no, this is pretty normal.
Yeah. Everyone always thinks, oh, you hear about the storm in the east, they won't know what to do with themselves. I'm like, no, they get these every year. What are you talking about? They get a lot of snow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the people, it's these wieners in like Seattle that don't know what to do with it. Oh, sorry, Daryl, I didn't see you there.
it's true. It's totally true.
So true.
So true. So, Kate, it's great to have you on. Brian, explain to Kate the rules of this game and what she could win.
I will. So, Kate in Rochester, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. He's going to answer. He's going to give his best. He's going to give it his best shot, his best effort. And then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than the numerical guess that Daryl has provided us. If you are correct, you today win a prize package that includes a BioShock Infinite key blank. So it's just like the BioShock Infinite keys you get in that game. An Attack on Titan choker necklace looking thing that's really cool.
That's cool.
And a set of Battlestar Galactica. It's a Battlestar Galactica Cylon rain sheet. So you can hang this on your wall and throw darts at it. And it looks just like, I'm going to open it up here. It looks just like the Cylons and gives you a place to,
look at that.
Aim your darts and all that stuff.
The new Cylon looking model.
New Cylons, right. All of these prizes can be yours today if you correctly guess whether Daryl's guess is higher or lower. Your category today is A Night at the Roxbury.
Ooh, A Night at the Roxbury, the movie.
What
with the...
is love? Don't hurt me no more.
That one, right?
That's the one.
So, Kate, wait, what was I going to say to you just now? I had a thing to say. I forgot. It was New York related. Damn it. No, I can't think of it. All right, forget it.
Some related to Rochester.
Yeah, remember that thing where I said I could remember stuff? It's all gone now. It's done.
It's gone now. The superpowers given to you by the cough medicine have waned.
Yeah, they've left. They only last 12 to 24 hours. All right, let's get right to the question. And in the category of Night of the Roxbury, question goes like this, Daryl. In the 1998 comedy, A Night of the Roxbury, can't believe it's that old, the main characters can't get into the Roxbury nightclub. At one point, they try to bribe the doorman, or the doorman, as I like to say, into letting them in. How much money do they try to offer the door guy to get into the Roxbury? And I'll give you a hint. It is somewhere between $5 and $30.
Wow, that's a narrow range.
It is a narrow range.
I'm amazed you gave such a narrow range, Scott.
Yeah, it's a little narrower than I like usually, but I don't know. It's incremental enough. I think we'll be okay. We hope.
I have never seen that movie, so I have not even the slightest clue.
Don't feel bad. I haven't either. I don't know why I haven't. I just never did. And I like Will Smith. I like Will Ferrell, and I like the other dude. What's his name? Chris Kattan?
Chris Kattan.
Yeah. I feel like he got a raw deal after SNL. Not enough cool stuff came his way for whatever reason. I think he's interesting, but I never saw this movie. And I don't know why. I remember thinking, one of my favorite GIFs on the internet is a GIF where they replace, it's the SNL skit version of the Roxbury stuff, but it was in the car, it's Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell, and Chris Kattan, and they're all doing the dance to that song.
Doing the head thing, right.
Mm-hmm. And somebody replaced their heads with Picard, Riker, and Data.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that too. That's
and
great.
It's just ever delightful. I love it. And so anyway, that's that. I share that. Nice. I share that for no reason. All right, Daryl, what do you think there, buddy?
How much do they bribe the doorman?
Yeah, that helps me a little bit, that to know where that clip comes from.
Mm. Oh, good.
And actually, it doesn't help me at all. No, it doesn't help me at all.
No, but it's good. I mean, at least you have a connecting. You can connect the dots a little bit.
Yeah.
On that. Yeah, it's fine.
It gives me one dot.
Yeah.
I need more dots.
Yeah, more dots, more dots.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Before you go on, this Attack on Titan thing, Brian, that you have?
Yeah.
I tried to watch an episode of Attack on Titan, and I'm sure we have fans in the chat room who are way into that stuff.
Sure.
What the hell is that show? Because, my gosh, it's a bunch of people who can sort of fly that fight off. You remember when we were kids and there was that Mr. Goodbody guy that had, like, all the muscles and stuff
yes.
showing?
Yeah, that is what the dude looks like.
He's like this giant.
All muscles on the outside
kind of
thing. Yeah,
like a giant guy with no skin. Just walking into town and people have to fight him off and he doesn't seem to talk or anything. He just sort of, whatever, he's like a big zombie man, but he's all muscles and skin and like Mr. Goodbody. And it freaks me out and I don't like it. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Daryl, go ahead. Continue on now. Just wanted to put my word out there about that going tight.
Totally, totally true.
No.
I want to say $6.66, but I think I'll say 14.
What? Wow. Okay.
14, or do you say Fortiva? What'd you say there? I missed it.
$14.95.
Oh, okay. Cut out for me. $14.95. All right. Let's find out if you're right about that. Brian, is that right?
$14.95 is incorrect. Kate in Rochester, is the correct answer higher or lower than $14.95?
I'm going to say lower.
Lower than $14.95. All right. Well, let's find out. The ever positive voice of Kate in Rochester, New York. you really are. You're making my day just slightly brighter because you just have a nice attitude. I could use you more often on the show. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get you calling in more often. anyway, here we go. Let's find out if that is correct. Is it lower than that amount?
Congratulations.
That is correct.
You're a winner.
The answer is $8.25. They offer him $8.25. This is, of course, does not work. The doorman was played by Michael Clark Duncan. Hey, boss. That guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here is a clip of that. I got a little clip of it. So let's play it.
You still can't come in.
Well, that's not what a friend of mine told me. Maybe you know him. His name is Abraham.
You don't know.
What about his two friends, George Washington and George Washington?
Let's not forget the other boy in the band, George Washington. He's a little lonely, wants to join his buddies.
And look who else we got, Roosevelt, and Jefferson.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty great. I kind of want to watch it now, to be honest.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I've obviously seen the skit.
No, I don't want to see it, Kate.
Is it that bad?
Kate, I was going to ask if Kate had seen it. Are you not a fan?
I think I've seen pieces of it, but I never felt compelled to watch the whole thing.
Mm. Well, don't hurt me no more. How's that going?
That's right, yes.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I think if you've seen that, you've probably seen the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, the skit. It's a weird sketch to base an entire film on. I have to say. But anyway, nonetheless, and notwithstanding, you've done real well today. You've won, and that means you need to send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com. He will get that stuff out to you right away. Congratulations, Kate. You've done awesome today.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
All right, Kate, future captain of the of Voyager, Kate Mulgrew, everybody.
that's the one sci-fi property that she's not getting a prize for.
There you go.
Wait, isn't BioShock? Oh no, it's Elizabeth is the
right.
character you're working with, not Catherine.
Oh my gosh, I always forget how much I love the look and feel, but not so much the gameplay of BioShock Infinite. I wish that game was more fun to play, but I love the story beats. So cool.
Yeah.
Daryl is the Trek nerd. You can find him at the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. He'll now. Favor us.
Well, should we eat first?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Damn, dude. I don't have a thing to play because I moved all my stuff since we've last had food. Here, I got an idea. Let's do this.
Oh, the smell of this box.
Here we go.
I like to eat!
Okay, that's our new theme.
That's perfect. That's a great,
Yep.
And, I like to poop pink, too!
So we got... You can't make me laugh. All right, so we got Oreos from Mary Heidenberg, right?
Yes.
And the Peeps.
Pal Weird Tigger.
We got the Peeps, the Pink Peeps one. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. I have the cookie already out. I have not tasted this yet. I have two of them. And the reason I have that is Kim had this thing last night where she was going to go help a bunch of kids with, like, Girl Scout stuff.
Oh.
Ironically, since they
do cookies. Yeah, I was going to say, if there's anybody who probably doesn't need cookie assistance.
Yeah, but it was some other deal, and they're going to do something. She says, ooh, my girls would love me if I brought this. I said, well, you got to give me at least one or two of these so I can test them on the show. So she took two out and gave them to me, so that's why I don't have the package.
Cool.
Anyway, right. There's a big pink peep on the front of the package. The rumor is, as you know, Daryl, if you eat these, you're supposed to get pink poo. Now I
don't know how many you have to eat to get pink poo. I bet it's a large number.
It's got to be more than one, right?
that should be a question that for me to answer.
Well, we'll answer it. If it's only one, we're gonna know because I'm only eating one because I'm on this sugar diet.
Yeah.
So let's just do it, I guess. Mine's broken.
Aww.
It smells like a peep.
It totally does. Yeah.
Oh. It's crunchy like a peep. It's got the little sugar crystals in it. Like
the
a peep.
Grit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that. I hate that about peeps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any taste. My taste buds
are...
It's
not bad, though. It's a very... It's not as sweet as a peep.
Sweet as a peep?
I was expecting it to be just sugar overload, but...
Oh, yeah.
This is not as...
But it's not that bad.
No. I'm the worst person to ask. I have no taste buds right now. So I can't taste it. That tastes like nothing to me. It tastes like air. And last night, Kim made a roast last night. Guess what it tasted like? Nothing. Because my taste buds are jacked up right now. And I can't smell anything either. Look at this. That doesn't smell like anything. I could fart in here right now. No one, I wouldn't know. Everyone else would, but I wouldn't. Because I can't smell and I can't taste.
Aw.
I know. I didn't think... This wasn't supposed to be part of the deal. Taste buds and smell receptors.
I never signed up for this.
Yeah, these are 2 year senses. I got, what do I have left? How many senses do people have? Five?
Five,
What's the sixth one?
Unless
seeing
you're
dead
Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, right. That's the sixth, how do I not have a career now sense that you have.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't, yeah, that was weird.
Is that like sweat on my butt?
Okay. Ted Cruz, why is that in there? All right. Oh, here's another one from Trump.
Eat.
We could have done that from our food. Mm. Eat. I like to eat.
I like to eat.
And then eat.
Eat.
Eat. And then there's
Hey, baby. You want some meat?
I'm a vegan. Do I look like I want some meat?
Okay, great. I don't know.
What weird Danish porn did you rip that one out
that's
of?
That's what it sounded like. As if I knew what that sounded like. Anyway, hey, that's good stuff. And I can't taste it. So I'll save the rest of this for later so I can taste it because I can't taste it right now. Thanks for those. And also she sent strawberry chocolate ones, right? Mm-hmm. We'll try those tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but our next time together, which will be Monday, I guess. So watch for that. I will get these Tim Tams out the door and on their way to both of you, so look for those in the mail. Daryl, do you have a game for us before we go? A little game?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to read part of a query that you've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay.
My child can't blank.
My child can't swim.
Read.
Read? Swim. Oh, Brian says read. I say swim.
I say read. Through my mouth full of Oreo peep.
Yeah, Oreo peep. My Oreo
a little preview.
Peeps. Sorry, go ahead.
A little preview of these chocolate ones. They don't smell like anything.
God, look at you really? Opening your bags early. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, what are you doing? I didn't break the seal on those. They're still over here.
I think one of each out in case we ate the other one.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay. That's smart, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So who got it right? Probably neither of us.
The number one query result is my child can't stop eating.
Oh. Mm. Oh, well, so I was close.
Yeah.
My child can't re-eat. Is close to the can't. Is what? What was
can't
it again?
Stop eating.
Okay, stop eating. Ga, ga, ga. All right, bye, Daryl.
Ga, ga.
All right, so Brian, I got a quick thing to say here about Tony
sure.
Wang. Tony Wang over at the Twit Network. He's does a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Okay.
Always been a real nice guy, good friend of the network. And when I was doing stuff over on Twit on a more regular basis, he was always seemed like he was often our producer for like forecast and things like that. Anyway, out of the blue and out of nowhere, got a mail package from him with a nice letter. He has better writing than me, so good job on that. And all handwritten, which was super sweet. And he sent me a copy of Cloverfield, which I had said I've never watched.
Oh, awesome.
So if you remember me having this conversation on the show, I've never seen Cloverfield, and this will be the first time I've seen it. And thanks to him for sending it.
Cool. Now you have no excuse.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, I think it just happens to be streaming this week also in a few places, so it's ironic. But that was super nice of him, so thank you. I'm gonna totally watch this. I get to finally see why Brian thinks, I already know why you think, what's her name's cute, because I think she's cute.
Oh, yeah. Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan in there. She doesn't go full True Blood, though, in this, right? Like, there's no...
there's no nudity.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's all... yeah, I really enjoy it. I mean, it's a really good.
She's versatile, man. She can do this drama stuff, and then she can move right into Party Down,
comedy and horror. Yeah,
she's smart. I like her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well, there's that. Let's do some quick news. Today's brief news brought to you by.
Sometimes it's okay not to be okay or to not be okay, but mental illness should not be ignored. Grab your warrior shirt today and join the fight against ending the stigma around mental illness. All proceeds are donated to Glenn Close's charity, Bring Change to Mind. You can get your one-of-a-kind warrior shirt at represent.com/fightthestigma. You are not alone. Let's learn together, grow together, and heal together. Fight the stigma.
Fight the stigma. I like that.
Wait a minute. I think they worded this poorly, though. Grab your warrior shirt today and join the fight against ending the stigma around mental illness. Shouldn't that be...
Oh, fight against
the stigma.
Join the
fight to end the stigma around mental illness?
I think that's what you mean, yeah. That's what they mean.
Yeah, okay.
Well, look, we're doing it together. We've learned together. We've grown together.
We've learned together and healed together and grown together.
Exactly. And I didn't know Glenn Close had a mental illness charity thing.
I think she wrote this.
Glenn Close, listen to the show, everybody. She has a fatal attraction. Oh, wrong movie. What's the one with the...
No, that's...
Is it Fatal Attraction?
Yeah. You're thinking of Basic Instinct.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, Fatal Attraction is correct.
Yeah, I get it mixed up. Which Michael Douglas movie am I talking about?
Right.
All right. Hey, look at this. We're going to do some quick stuff. There's a steak sauce bottle mystery unfolding at the Ohio Library. Small town newspaper photographer can be a thankless task. A never-ending parade of firefighter photo ops, the occasional crime scene, and yes, parades. But Bruce Bishop, the photo chief at Elyria, that's Ohio's Chronicle-Telegram.
Elyria,
sorry. Sounds like a disease. Also, have you been to the Chronicle-Telegram?
I have not.
Okay.
I've been to a few newspapers in Ohio, the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Dayton Daily News, but not the... Elyria Chronicle Telegram.
Yeah, it's news to me as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, what has been happening is somebody went through this library and just littered the place with full bottles of steak sauce, A1 bottles. And nobody knows why, so this photographer figured it out and is bringing it to light. So
wow. Okay, yeah. So he knows.
Yep. And nobody, and still nobody knows why it's
so
happening.
He's just bringing the fact that this is happening.
Right, to light. He's shining light on the horrible crime that is the scattering of A1 bottles around a public library. I mean, to
the
shame.
The fact that it's A1, it seems like that should be a clue, right? It's
Yeah.
Somebody's name in the beginning of the alphabet.
Yeah. Andrew a- 1.
Yes.
Amos 1. I don't know. Burger flipping robots are replacing humans. As evidenced by this job here in California, burger flipping robot has just completed its first day on the job at a restaurant in California. Has replaced humans at the grill. Flippy is its name. Oh Lord, really, Flippy?
Come on, what would you name it?
You'd
name it Flippy McFlipface is what you'd name it.
The Burger 2000, Burgermeister 2000. That's what I do. Has mastered the art of cooking the perfect burger and just started working at Cali Burger, a fast food chain. Have you ever been there? I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
I feel like they can't expand out of the state because they call it Cali Burger. Maybe they can. It's like California Pizza Kitchen, I guess.
Sure, exactly. Kentucky Fried Chicken managed to escape the surly bonds of Kentucky.
Yeah, the chains that held it down. Although its first major location was in Salt Lake City, which makes no sense either. Anyway. Yeah. The robotic kitchen assistant, which makers say can be installed in just 5 minutes, is the brainchild of Miso Robotics. Much like self-driving vehicles, our system continuously learns from its experiences to improve over time. Though we are starting with an relatively simple task of cooking burgers, our proprietary AI software allows for kitchen assistants to be affordable, adaptable, and therefore can be trained up to help with any dull, dirty, or dangerous task in a commercial kitchen. Whether it's a fried chicken, cutting vegetables, or final plating.
Huh.
How do you
I'm
feel?
Watching the video of this thing, which probably should be the video show during the middle song today, because it's fascinating. But it actually can tell when a burger is cooked versus raw, It scoops it up and even puts it on a bun.
Hit play here. Let's see what we get. Turn the volume down.
Get some fun This American Life music.
Yeah, that is totally what that is, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, look at that. I love the precision at which he does this.
Yes.
Flippy, kitchen assistant. Look at that. Grabs the burger, rotates it. I mean, how does it see?
It has sensors. They show how it recognizes a cooked burger versus a raw burger versus a chicken patty versus a bun. Putting a bun on the grill to crispy it up.
Wow. So
pretty cool.
That is kind of cool, except this is the future we're heading toward. Nobody can get a job anymore because these robots
have
all the jobs.
There's a somewhere in Vegas, there is a robot bartender.
Mm.
I wish it looked like Michael Sheen from Passengers, but it doesn't.
Oh, man. Like that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of bottles. It looks more like GLaDOS with a bunch of bottles hanging from the ceiling and this arm that goes and grabs them.
Still, the single coolest, best thing about Passengers was that robot bartender. That's it. Yeah. That's the main reason
first
to see that movie.
First hour of that movie. Really cool.
Yeah, really good. Should be a TV show, maybe. let's see. Yeah. There's I'm going to skip one, but I'm going to give you this great one here.
Okay.
You're going to love this. Pornhub. They're a big internet porn purveyor of porn, of pornography. They say they're going to plow snow in Boston for free. I'll read it.
Yeah.
When Boston plow truck drivers get to work cleaning snow during Tuesday or tomorrow's big storm, this is, I guess, yesterday, they'll have some help from none other than Pornhub.com. Don't go there. Pledging to assist anyone who wants to get plowed. That's nice. The adult entertainment site says it is sending out a fleet of branded trucks to clean up the city streets and parking lots for 100% free. The Pornhub team understands that at this time of year, most cities have run up their budgets in snow removal. Pornhub Vice President Corey Price tells Boston, that's a magazine, I guess, and we thought we'd lend a hand and get our fans plowed. The cheeky service, which is only being offered in Boston and New Jersey, is slated to begin when the flakes start falling overnight and continue in the for the duration of the storm. Police say, Prince says, sorry. Each of the trucks, he says, are more than two dozen of them. Will have the porn website's black, white, and orange logo on their plows and doors. Chat room, I think this, I may have a photo of this. Let's see if we do. Yeah, there it is. So look at that. This is a truck. He's got a plow in front, got stickers on the side of the truck. Now, this isn't the first time they've done something kind of weird like this. Pornhub is known for, they own a esports team.
Oh, really?
Just a straight up, like, League of Legends team. And there was a lot of controversy about whether they should be allowed to be in the tournament. And people are like, well, they're not. I mean, what's the difference between them and Coke or something? And, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting argument. But Pornhub getting in on the snow removal business. One dirty keyboard user at a time.
I know, exactly. I would think that at some point, the more serious ventures you start to get into, snow plowing and esports, you kind of start regretting the name Pornhub.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe we should have gone with something a little less on the nose.
Yeah, because the word porn is always going to be in your thing. There's no getting around it. All right, we're going to get around it by taking a break. And when we come back, it's recommendals. Got a couple of those to talk about. And Nicole's still convalescing. Still gets you doing better, though. They sent her home, right? Did I hear that right?
No, she's still in the hospital.
Still in the hospital. Okay. Well, we'll do this in her stead, in her honor.
But she does have a recommendal in her absence. She has a recommendal.
Oh, a proxy mental, we'll call it.
Proximental.
Proximental.
Exactly. I also made a very bad joke in the chat room that I don't think I'll say on the show.
Oh.
About the Pornhub plows.
Damn it. All right. I have to check it here in a second.
Well, okay. You know what? Tell me if this is bad. You can edit it out.
All right. Let me mark it. Okay, go.
All right. All right. The Pornhub plows scoop up the snow and the...
Oh, my Lord. I'm going to mark that and we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that later and make a determination. And then Tom will be here, of course. Tom's Tech Time, always a good time for those involved, and all that stuff. So come on back here in a sec. But in the meantime, Brian,
yes,
why he's brung some music. What do you got?
I have. Aren't you glad I made you mark the time? Mm-hmm. How about a band from London, a post-punk new wave band that formed way back in 1980, and their sound, they're keeping it. They're keeping that sound, which I love. The band features vocalist Von Toulouse, keyboard player Eddie Roxy, and guitarist Mike Herbage, released three singles and recorded one album called Substance. They released Going Left Right, which also charted back in 1982, and then they split. Well, they reconvened in 2006, changed around a couple of the members. They lost Von Toulouse. And they recorded their first new single in 26 years, a cover of a song called My Cuckoo from 1973. They have built up a reputation as far as being like this band to see in London. And hopefully you guys enjoy this as well. From their album, When All Is Said and All Is Done, here is Department S and their song, On My Own Again.
Shadow in your eyes, I see the clouds across the sky. I never liked the way you walk, but I like the way you talk. Can you take me by the hand, lead me to the promised land? Please can you tell me what to say, it doesn't have to end this way. Here I up on the floor, scream and shout and slam the door, never saying what was wrong. I think I knew it all along.
You can take me by the hand, lead me to the promised land. Please can you tell me what you say? It doesn't have to end this way. Here I am on my own again. What was wrong? I think I knew it all along. Can you take me by the hand? Lead me to the promised land. Please can you tell me what you say? It doesn't have to end this way. Here I am.
And the plastic in the aesthetic shield also blocks out abusive rays and assists in the regeneration of cells.
It's a note pinned to the tree. Deedly-dee.
This is the Morning Stream.
You know, Tom Hanks gets like $5 million to do this all day.
Well said, Scott Fletcher. Well said. Now this is my Scott Fletcher voice down here. Hello.
Everybody. Yeah, I know. Listen, Fletcher, you keep complaining about how much we're paying you, and we're just going to do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. Just kidding. We love you, and we never want you to leave. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's time for some fun here. We got a little recommendal time, and Nicole's not here, but in honor of her not being here. The reason I do that is because she's homesick. She's had C. diff, and she had an appendicitis emergency surgery, and she before that had the thing I'm dealing with right now, this awful cold chest thing. I don't think she's been treated fairly by nature in the last month or so I would really like her not to feel that way. I'd like her to feel healthy and well, and so we're hoping that she is doing better. She seems to be. She says she's definitely on the mend. Still in the hospital, though, and she has a recommendal this week, so we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, this is recommendals. We recommend things that are streaming. Brian always starts. He plays a little clip, and then he explains it. Brian, any setup for this clip?
We're going back to 1976 for this one.
Ooh, that's a while ago.
It is a while ago.
All right, well, here it is then. I'm going to play it.
Hi, this is Carl. I'm sorry to disturb you now, but we're going with the story that Holden was the fifth man in control of the fund, and they're hassling us here. We got three confirmations, but if you could just help us, I'd appreciate it.
Look, I won't say anything about Holden, not ever.
I understand that. We wouldn't want you to do that. We know it's against the law for you to say anything. If there's some way you could warn us to hold on the story, we'd appreciate it.
I'd really like to help you, but I can't.
Look, I'm going to count to 10, all right? If there's any reason we should hold on the story, hang up the phone before I get to 10. If the story's all right, you'll just be on the phone after I get to 10, all right?
Hang up, right?
That's right. You got it?
Yeah.
We're straight. All right, I'm going to start counting. Okay? Are we all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You got it straight now? Everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Dude, All the President's Men is so good.
It's so good. And Hoffman and Paul Newman, or not Paul Newman, Robert Redford.
Yeah.
So damn good.
It holds up too, I'm guessing, yeah.
Probably. It really does. And again, you know, you're talking about wiretapping and presidents that are doing stuff, you know, doing some shady stuff and mm-hmm. having dealings with people they shouldn't be having dealings with.
Mm-hmm.
There's some parallels. But it's excellent, and it's streaming on HBO, HBO Now, HBO Go, whichever one you have.
Yeah.
And it's all about the Watergate scandal and the two guys who worked for the Washington Post, Carl Bernstein, who you heard there, played by Dustin Hoffman, Bob Woodward, played by Robert Redford, who basically uncovered the entire Watergate scandal.
Yeah, working for the Washington Post, was it?
Washington Post. And you got Deep Throat. Mm-hmm. You had Jason Robards in here, Hal Holbrook, Martin Balsam, Jack Warden. Such a great, really good cast. And nominated but did not win the Academy Award in 1977 for this.
For Best Picture, yeah.
For Best Picture.
What won that year? Curious.
I'm curious too. Let's take a look. It was the 49th Rocky. Some indie film.
Oh,
Rocky.
That's fine. The first movie was a pretty serious indie film, so I get it. I wonder
if Taxi Driver also came out. I mean, you had Robert De Niro's big debut in Taxi Driver that year. It was a really good year for movies.
Yeah, 76 was great. It does seem like, though, if they could have said, all right, we now want to play, we can go to the future, everybody. Let's go see what Rocky V is about. And then when they do that, they would go, oh, shit, we can't give this movie Best Picture.
Right.
This is not going to be good. We didn't know it was going to be a terrible franchise down the road. All right. Well, that's good.
Excellent. And, you know, if you only know, I know Nixon was involved in the Watergate scandal, and it was about, you know, a cassette with missing audio and somebody breaking in and stealing stuff, then this is a really good thing to check out. There's also a follow-up documentary that Robert Redford produced that came out in 2013 that focuses on the Watergate case and the kind of where it is today.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
President's Men Revisited.
Is that also on HBO?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look for that one. But
I'm into that. I'd love to see that.
But they interview Woodward, Bernstein, Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman.
Now, was it Bernstein because we remember it, or is it Berenstain now because
it's Bernstein?
They had the Mandela effect. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
making sure.
It still is Bernstein and
callback.
Yep, that's a great callback. And it's funny; it's the first time I'd ever remember hearing a amalgamation of names, because they'd called them Woodstein for Woodward and Bernstein. Like, Woodstein, get in my office for the two of them.
Like, it just for the, you get a name for the pair. That's like, great.
Jennifer.
What would we be? Gibbet? Gibbet, get in here.
Team Gibbet. Yeah.
Yeah, Team Gibbet. That's right. Ibsen. That would work too.
That would work too.
Here's my clip. See if you can figure out what it is. It is also an HBO Now thing or HBO deal. So here you go.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever interviewed anyone that looks like you before.
Really?
I've made a career out of looking at the weird and bizarre side of life.
It's quite a kick.
So when I discovered a strange video online, I knew I'd found my next story.
CET, competitive endurance tickling group we got here.
Competitive endurance tickling. It was one of the strangest sports I'd seen. So I told Jane O'Brien Media I'd like to do an interview. Instead of getting a yes or no, I got this.
Association with a homosexual journalist is not something we will embrace. Shame on you. You don't gay Kiwis. Regards, Jane O'Brien Media.
It was hard to take the insult seriously, considering the sport did seem slightly gay.
All right. Any ideas?
I have no idea. People in the chat room have been saying something about Tickled.
Yeah, it's called Tickled.
Huh.
And I had seen screen grabs in the app and went, that sounds, I don't want to watch a thing about people's fetish with tickling, because that's what it seemed like on the face of it. Mm-hmm. And immediately, director of 10 Cloverfield Lane, Dan Trachtenberg, said, I hope you're kidding. And I wrote back, I said, oh, what have I missed? He says, that is an amazing documentary and you must watch it.
Really?
And I said, oh, all right, Dan, I'll watch it, because you and I tend to be kind of the same on stuff we like, especially documentaries. So I went and watched it. Absolutely, incredibly riveting. I loved everything about that documentary.
Wow.
And it is freaking weird. And I don't want to give anything away that's going to ruin the experience for somebody. It's not like it's a big twist or anything, but that thing gets so strange. What starts out is just like weird curiosity about a thing you find online turned into this really deep undercover conspiracy laden weird potentially criminal sort of enterprise. It was really freaking weird. I loved it. And there's a little follow-up to it that's also on there. It's like 30 minutes long, called The Tickle King, I think. And it's where that thing goes, like how that story ends, mind-boggling. I can't recommend it enough. It's awesome. So it must be seen.
All right,
it's really really
I'll
good.
Check that out. That sounds that. It's definitely something that I would have like brushed past and not paid attention to. So I'm glad you suggested it.
Yeah, I would have too. Thanks to Dan Trachtenberg for pointing me in the right direction, because it turned out to be. And I love documentaries, especially ones that come out of nowhere and kind of blow my mind, and there's some great Utah connections on this thing too, which I always like. It's awesome. It's great. The guys, the filmmaker's a Australian, or not, sorry, New Zealand guy. And how he gets all wound up in this thing is really something to witness. So anyway,
cool.
Absolutely worth checking out. That's Tickled, available now on HBO streaming, as well as being shown in HBO on a regular basis. And maybe available somewhere else. It showed at Sundance last year, is where it kind of got huge. So okay. Anyway, there's that deal. All right. You brought something for Nicole, yeah?
Yes. It's actually in the in her email or her text. So if you jump over to your text thing, you should be able to click that and go right into an audio clip.
I don't want to gross anybody out, but listen to this. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
The kind of crackly thing at the end.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's real good. All right, here we go. I'm going to play this clip. Let's see if we can figure out what we got.
Wait. Stop. Listen. You smell that? This way. Werewolves.
Oh, no.
Look what the cat did again, huh?
Piss off.
Keep walking. Don't hassle us tonight.
There has been no hassle here.
Well, let it stay that way. Keep chaining yourselves up. Guys, where's your tracksuit pants?
It was washing night. My missus couldn't wash them because there was too much blood in them, so...
Your legs expand. They grow into the tracksuit.
Oh.
Those jeans are going to rip completely. You've lost all those trousers, guys. Declan, that tree's far too thin. Look at it. It's like a branch. You know how big you get when you transform? That's the wrong tree for you.
Anton,
Oh, no. You've forgotten the combination. Why did you get a combination lock?
I lost my key last time.
Okay, well, it's probably four zeros. That's the factory setting, is it?
Hey!
I know, on transformation nights, it's all right, I'm getting stressed out.
I was just reminding you.
Stop talking and chain yourself up, you dickhead!
Honestly, I was supposed to laugh today. All right, so that's in the what we do in the shadows.
And, that is fantastic.
Now, it's come up before on this show where we recommended it. I'm sure
it has. Yeah. It definitely has, and that's all right. It can come up again. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So,
if you have
not seen it, you need to see it. It's
one of the, 2015. Let's not forget. One of the finest films ever made, Mad Max Fury Road, came out in 2015.
Did it?
I hardly heard about it.
I'm unfamiliar.
But easily second place that year. Easy pick for second place for me was What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
I love this movie
so which much. Has a they're working on a sequel all about the werewolves.
Yeah, it's with Murray there. Yeah,
yeah,
going band meeting. It's awesome. People should see it. It's got him in it, of course. Jermaine Clements in it. No Brit. He's not in this.
No, nope.
Bunch of New Zealand guys. It's like a big fake documentary about what vampires and, by association, werewolves and others do in their normal lives. And it is wonderful, that movie. Mm-hmm. So see it.
So good.
Good one, Nicole. Well done. A solid pick.
For sure.
Next,
I guess we'll just keep going free-for-all. Yeah. I like this free-for-all.
Free-for-all is good. It feels like less pressure on me.
It totally does. And it's allowing Tina and I to go back and see some of these like must-see movies that like All the President's Men that we missed the first time around.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that because I love that stuff anyway. And I've seen that movie, but it was so long ago, I don't remember anything about it. And I love movies that are made in like the 70s that totally mm-hmm. work today. And mm-hmm. not, I don't mean just because they're timely. I mean, the way that they're made, the way they're acted, don't feel like some ancient piece of crap movie that totally. Doesn't hold up anymore. And I really like that. So I, too, shall watch All the President's Men as they venture forth into the world of adventure. All right.
Very good. You should do that.
Thomas Merritt will be joining us shortly. He'll talk about technology. Today is Daily Tech News Show Day for me. Hopefully I'm not coughing all over his show. I'd feel real bad about that. That's not, my plan is not to try to do that.
He would never have you on his show again. You'd be
you think I'd get banished? Axed. Oh my gosh, I'll be banished. What should I do to ensure that I don't get banished? How should I what should I do? Just make sure
liberal use of the cough button and okay. And maybe even have Scott Fletcher, you know, go on and pretend to be Scott Johnson so he doesn't have to listen to that voice.
Okay. And could I whisper into Fletcher's ears what I want him to say? Yes,
you totally can. It'll be like Roxanne. You'll be like
I love this.
Whispering it to Fletcher and then
everything you're saying is working out perfectly.
How can any of it go wrong?
It can't. Here's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man that we're talking about today is a St. Louis hat-wearing Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Well, you're a A87 hat-wearing.
I feel like I really should be wearing a hat today.
I still don't even know what it means.
Just the headphones on.
I don't even know what this means, this hat. I wear it all the time, but I don't know what those numbers mean.
It's a weird. It's Binga.
Oh,
it's a yeah.
Okay.
It's rather than Bingo, you play Binga.
Ah.
A87 winning.
Another Mandela effect thing. We always thought it was spelled Bingo back in the day, but it's Binga.
No, it's a variation. You know, right. It's an expansion pack to Bingo.
Oh, speaking of expansion and expanse, I have turned more people onto that book series because of you than anyone I know. I just thought I'd just give you a little credit here on the air.
Oh, well, thank you.
Two more people last night. Yeah. And I topped it off with saying, and when you're done with that, make sure to pick up Pilot X by Tom Merritt. So I even put a little plug for that.
Well, I'm also a big fan of that.
Yeah, there it is. It was upside down. That's
Whoa,
a call for
how
help.
How did you have one that handy?
One's pretty magic.
When you hold up your own book, but it's upside down when you hold it up, is that a call for help? Or does that mean that there's trouble?
It wasn't upside down.
Oh, no, it's not now. Never mind.
It wasn't then either.
It's cold.
But while we're at it, blink twice if you're okay.
Yeah, if you have to blink to let us know if you're all right. Because, you know, upside down book and all that.
You know, blink twice if you're okay. If someone's holding a gun to your head, they would be like, you better not blink. I can see you blinking.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. If someone tells you not to blink, it's really hard not to blink.
Yeah.
Totally yeah.
True. Speaking of blinking. Death, if you blink, you may miss what we're going to talk about today, which is technology. It's Daily Tech News. It's Daily Tech News Show.
Yeah, me and Scott are going to just cough our way through Daily Tech News Show today. Just a warning ahead of time.
Little,
go ahead and blink. Go ahead and blink, Tom. You can blink.
A little west of west side of the country illness going around. Tom's got it too, but we're going to do it anyway.
Out in New York, we were recording our Twin Peaks podcast yesterday. He's got it too.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I was talking Everywhere. To Ron. I was talking to Ron yesterday about some anchor stuff, and he same deal. He's like, oh yeah, I've been sick too. Everybody's got it. It's like the weird year. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, airplanes.
Yeah, good job, airplanes, and people breathing and all that. That's great.
Thank you, respiration.
Yeah, thank you. Need to pull in oxygen. So let's talk about the day in tech. What's happening so that we can cover it later? What's going on?
You know, there's a lot of interesting little things today. The big news, like the headline news, is the U.S. Justice Department indicting four people for one of the Yahoo breaches, the one that happened in 2014. Two of the accused are members of Russia's intelligence agency, the FSB.
Whoa.
And so, you know, there's that, anybody who's following political news, of course, when the word Russia comes up, it's like red flags. Huh, get it, red flags.
I like it.
So there's a lot of interesting things about that, but most of them aren't really related to technology other than, hey, guess what? They figured out, or at least they think they have figured out who conducted that breach and they've arrested them. That's a big get. I'm kind of fascinated with this research out of the University of Michigan of using sound waves to trick your accelerometers into thinking your phone is moving when it's not. And then all of the things you can do to mess with a phone once you've done that.
Oh, wow.
So this is just research. A lot of the stories, even the University of Michigan, sadly, story portrays this as a vulnerability in your phone. And it's like, well, really, it's just, you know, figuring out like how accelerometers work and what you can do with them. And that'll help us make accelerometers stronger and sense the right things. But from a hacking perspective, this is really interesting. They were able to measure or modulate sound so that it resonates with the accelerometer in such a way that the accelerometer thinks it's moving, so that you could either play sound at a device or craft a music file that you plant on the phone and the phone plays that out of its own speakers. And they were able to get Fitbit to record steps that weren't happening. They were able to control a remote control car, which you would normally control by, you know, tilting the phone.
Yeah.
And they even, just for kicks, spelled out the word walnut in the smartphone sensor graph.
Oh, it's walnut. Why walnut? That seems like...
That's just to show you could control the sensor graph. Yeah.
And that's also pretty...
I don't know why they chose walnut. Yeah.
Well, it's a decently complex word compared to just the word boy or something, I guess.
Yeah. So, hello right, world right. or something like that.
Yeah. Wow. Walnut.
Yeah. Foo.
I hate walnuts. Right. So that's the one that intrigues me, is the remote control stuff, because there are a lot of drones that use phones for their control.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how much of that is accelerometer control, because I've never used one, but that seems dangerous, you know?
Like, yeah, it's the MEMS accelerometers, if you know what that is, that they were using. Mm. Kevin Fu, a University of Michigan associate professor of computer science and engineering, led the team that precisely tune the acoustic tones to deceive 15 different models of accelerometers.
Gosh. That's
so
crazy.
It was across a bunch of different types too.
Right. So in theory, this could work on your Nintendo Switch, your iPhone, your Android phone, your whatever device has some sort of accelerometer support. Like my wrist tracker deal that I have has an accelerometer in it. I don't like the idea that somebody could fiddle with my fitness numbers. You know, because in theory, that could tell me that I ran way less than I ran or way more than I ran. I could look at it at the end of the day and go, whoa, I did 20,000 steps today. Fantastic. And I didn't really. That sucks.
Yeah.
But
well, and the best part about this is the researchers said there are some ways to adjust your hardware design to eliminate the problem. And there are even some software changes that could minimize the vulnerabilities. And they've alerted manufacturers of these issues. So, first of all, this is a somewhat precise thing. You have to be within acoustic range, obviously. Yeah. I guess you could blast it on a loudspeaker and control everybody's phones, but it's hard to say that you would see this become a widespread vulnerability. Mm-hmm. All that said, they've also done the responsible things and worked on the fixes. So I look at these things. I know the headlines are fun, like, you know, hey, they can take control of your phone by playing a malicious song at you.
Yeah.
And that is frightening. But really what this means is, hey, and I like what he says in this article from the University of Michigan, this was a vulnerability that if you're just a computer scientist, you wouldn't have noticed. Yeah. If you were just a material scientist, you wouldn't have noticed. You had to be cross-disciplinary. You had to look at both at the same time to discover it. Right. And so we're glad we did. And now we've got a fix out.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I like this stuff, the preemptive stuff when this happens. Vulnerabilities are fun, and then people can do stuff about them. Sometimes
I have a little insight into walnut now. I'd missed this when I first went over this.
No reason for walnut?
Yeah. The paper they're presenting on April 26th at the IEEE European Symposium on Security and Privacy is titled "Waging Doubt on the Integrity of MEMS Accelerometers with Acoustic Ingestion." Injection. Walnut.
Oh, gotcha.
Not an acronym, though. It's not an acronym. I don't know why it's called Walnut still.
Right. Actually. It's more
but
like
the paper is titled Walnut.
It's like a project title, more like. Weird.
I bet Walnut is an acronym, though.
Yeah, it probably is. Well, do you ever read the book Stephen King's Cell, C-E-L-L? like phone?
No, I haven't.
All right, so that's a zombie book, and I don't know. Your mileage may vary. I really enjoyed it. I like Stephen King anyway. But it's funny. It came out around the time flip phones were a thing. There was no smartphones yet. And the idea was that on this specific day, an unnamed entity in the entire book, they never find out who did it. It's probably, you know, it's implied this like government or foreign spies or something. Yeah. But sent a signal through everybody's phone simultaneously that did two things. Made it ring, and then when they would hold it up to their head, there was a certain frequency signal coming out into their head that would make them crazy zombie people. And they would immediately turn on their neighbor and just devour each other. And it was a really fun book. But what you've described reminds me of that. This idea that, not to that extreme, but this idea that people could take remote control or do things to your phone that isn't just, oh, I hacked your email, or, oh, hey, I've hacked your Twitter account, or I've fished your password or whatever. Like, this is way more like your hardware is now doing a thing that we need it to do in order to get something done. And that's, I don't know why that freaks me out. That's a freaky thing to me.
I really, really try when I report these stories, when I talk about these stories, to emphasize that discovering these things means that we fixed them.
Mm.
Right. It's we tend to, as a human, we are used to identifying the threats on the savannah. Right. So we like, there's a threat. Oh, I better run away from it. And the fact is, in this case, what they're saying is, hey, this could have been used by somebody because we didn't know about it. And if they didn't tell anybody, it could have been bad, maybe.
Right.
But we figured it out. So, you know, we could suffer from a little cognitive bias here if we just pay attention to these stories all the time as if they're like, here's another threat. But the fact is, it's here's another fix. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing that's making your devices safer. Where I'm going with this is we haven't heard of anybody having a fix for cells that turn you into zombies.
Right. That's true. Or brown notes. No brown notes, please. I would like
fix for brown notes.
Yeah, I don't want a frequency that makes everybody poop.
That's the real story here.
Yeah, the buried headline. Clearly is that. All right. Well, that and much more today on the Daily Tech News Show with the two coughing buddies, Scott and Tom. That's at 2:30 Mountain Time and
the
will happen.
Man, brothers.
Yes. We both have switches, so we'll be okay. We're fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, look, you can't even tell. Fine. He can't even tell he's doing it. He's got a switch down. See? I'll do it again, too. Oh, look at me. Oh, I have to cough. I don't know. You didn't even know.
Whoa.
What happened there? I could have sworn I saw coughing, but there was no coughing sound.
It's like magic, dude. You have to just, you accept it or you move on. That's how it works. Anyway, 2:30, dailytechnewsshow.com for details. Tom, anything else you would like to mention? Like upside down books?
Oh, yeah. I know I've reminded the crap out of people with this, but if you haven't heard, Pilot X is out. You can buy it on bookshelves. Maybe not your own bookshelf. You might have to go to a bookstore's bookshelf to find it. But yeah, you can buy it online. You can get it in Kindle ebook. You can get it in Audible. And I guess the big thing is if you're interested in a time travel story, it seems to be being embraced well as that. It's short and fast paced. Go check it out. If you have picked it up, the one thing you can do that would really be helpful for me is leave a review. Yeah. Wherever you bought it, whether it's on Barnes & Noble or Amazon or whatever. Amazon particularly, though, helps boost the book in its rankings, which then makes it available for more people to see, which might mean more people pick it up and check it out. So highly encourage the reviews to keep pouring in. And thanks to everybody who's done that already.
Yeah, for sure. Go check it out. And if you're bringing your copy to Nerdtacular 2017, Tom will sign it there for you.
Yeah, we should do a little time for everybody to bring them at once so that, you know, because otherwise it might be intermittent. I don't want everybody to get a chance to get it signed.
Otherwise
Dunaway is going to sign it. And
yeah, you don't want his big dumb
mistake Dunaway for me because he's so buff.
Yeah, we don't want any of that to happen. So, yeah, we'll make something cool. But, yeah, bring that or anything else. Your boob, if you want him to sign your boob, he'll do your boob. Tom Merritt. I'll see you today. Later today.
I think you're projecting, Scott.
I might be. I might very well be. Remember when I had shirts made, Tom or Brian, that was said, Scott Johnson signed my boob? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Those were popular.
They were.
Should do them again this year. All right. Hey, we got one quick thing I want to read on our way out of here.
Okay.
This person had sent it in and say, hey, maybe we could read this before a segment, but I think it deserved its own focus. Yeah. This is from Chris Knopfler. Or Kopfler. I'm going to say Koppler because there's no silent N in there.
It's like Knopfler without the N.
Yeah. Money for nothing, chicks for free.
That's right. Pedersen, tune out.
Oh, yeah. Pedersen, get out of here. Chasing Pedersen out of the room right now on this one. he says this. He's AKA freshman in the chat room when he's there very occasionally. He says, on Saturday, March 4th, my fiance brother, Victor Ortiz, passed away during an apparent heart attack almost 3 weeks away from his 23rd birthday. That is way too young. Mm-hmm. I knew him for the last 10 years and was happy to see my funny and kind future brother-in-law grow and finally start to come out of his shell this past year. All of Victor's friends and family are devastated by the sudden loss, and he will be missed greatly. Adding to this tragedy is the fact that Victor's family is struggling to pay for the funeral arrangements and are faced with the prospect that remains his remains may have to be kept in a funeral home for more than a month before they can be properly laid to rest. In order to help pay for these funeral arrangements, I helped Victor's mother, Carmen, set up a GoFundMe campaign, and I'm asking all the great generous members of the Tadpole and Frog Pants community to please help us by visiting GoFundMe.com/Victor Ortiz, that's O-R-T-I-Z, and donate anything to help the Victor's friends and family find some peace and comfort in this trying time. Again, that is GoFundMe.com/Victor Ortiz, and consider helping them out. They seem like they could use it. When one of our own suffers like that, it's always good to kick up a notch and help if you can. Anyway, thanks for letting us do that there, freshman, and our best to the family and everybody. I know this must be a really rough time. All right, we're going to get out of here. Big thanks to everybody for joining us, and you can find all our details at frogpants.com/TMS. All of it's there. All our links, all our contact stuff, our Twitter accounts, our email, all of it. It's right there, so check that out. We're going to leave you now with some music. Brian always brings a little bit of something at the end here, a little kind of, I don't know, if somebody needs a
closing
thing.
It out.
Yep. Some closure. And we'll call it closure. I don't know. I was saying words that don't make sense. Okay.
Yeah. And also, I forgot to mention this during the giveaway earlier, but big thanks to Kathy for providing a box of Loot Crate prizes of stuff that she didn't want. She also sent Tina a knit hat that Tina really loves. So thank you for that. All right, let's get to the request. And Bob, if you've come back, Bob Pedersen, if you've come back after that email, you might as well just turn around and leave again.
Yeah.
Andrew Lyon says, go ahead and tune out, Pedersen. Here comes a sad song request. On Friday, March 13th, I was out to dinner. And this is a year ago, I believe. He doesn't say specifically, but I think this was 2016. Mm. On Friday, March 13th, I was out to dinner with some friends after FNM. That's Friday Night Magic for you non-planeswalkers. When I got a tearful call from my mom saying my older brother had collapsed in the kitchen and they were taking him to the hospital. Sadly, he had suffered a brainstem aneurysm at the far too young age of 35. After being kept on life support for several days to arrange organ donations, he was allowed to pass on the 16th. I miss him dearly and would love a song to lift my spirits on this week, which will forever be a very difficult time for me, my other two brothers, and our parents. A band we both loved was Cowboy Mouth, a raucous party band from New Orleans, and it would make me smile to hear their cover of Ico Ico. My world is darker without Tim. Without him, thank you so much for what you guys do every day to make this world brighter. Signed, Andrew.
35. Not cool, yeah, man.
Way too young.
Jeez.
So he wants to hear Ico Ico, originally done by Sugar Boy and his Cane Cutters. This has been covered by everybody. The Bell Star is probably the most famous version of that. It's used at the very beginning of the movie Rain Man. From their album Mardi Gras, here is Cowboy Mouth from 2011 and their cover of Ico Ico.
Come on!
Ico, 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 Ane, Giacomo Fina, Anane, Giacomo Fina, Ane. My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your back on fire. Talking about, hey now,
hey now,
hey now,
hey now.
Ico, Ico, Ane, Giacomo Fina, Anane, Giacomo Fina, Ane. Giacomo
name is Fred. Shaggy bone peanut name. Talking about hey now. Hey now. Hey now. I go on name. Shagamo Pino on my name. Shagamo Pino name. Talking about hey now. Hey now. I go on name. Shagamo Pino on my name. Shagamo Pino name. I'm talking about hey now. Hey now. I go on name. Shagamo Pino on my name. Shagamo Pino name. I'm talking about hey now. Hey now. I go on name. Shagamofina anane, Shagamofina ne, Shagamofina ne, Shagamofina ne.
That's rock and roll.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.